So the kids say the most darnest things ever. So this morning, we woke up quite early, and Polo and myself were in the bathroom, and she was getting ready, I was getting ready, and I start speaking life to her. I said, "Hey, you're looking good this morning. You're looking wonderful. You've bathed," because Polo doesn't like bathing. So I say, "You've bathed and you're looking fresh, and I love this." And Polo is at the stage where she keeps sharing, not sharing, but she repeats everything that I say. So I'm like, "You're looking great, you've bathed." She says, "Yeah, you also bathed." And we keep going on and on and on and on. And then I say, "You look pretty." And then she doesn't say anything back to me. And I thought, wow, okay. All right, Polo. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And it's also an honor and a privilege to be sharing the word of God this morning with us today. I'm going to pray and pray over the word, that God be with it and he releases it in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Father, for your inspiration. I thank you, Father, for your voice, Lord. We are grateful for it, Lord. Father, as today we release this word, I pray that you speak, Lord, not me. I pray your spirit be upon my mouthpiece, Lord. I pray that as I open up my mouth, Father, your words come out and not mine. And I pray that every word that is released this morning, Father, may transform lives, may change us, Father, may bring us closer to you, may give us revelation and wisdom that we need in how to lead our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So today's message is, what do you do during the waiting season? What do you do during the waiting season? So years ago, my brother-in-law took a couple of us on a ride in his rebuilt 1600 VW Beetle. He had rebuilt this engine, and it had taken him so many years, and he had, you know, done a stellar job at it. And so for those who don't know, this car is actually considered an antique, right? So there's vintage, there's antique, and there's classic, right? Vintage is anything over 50 years. Antique is anything from 35 to 50, 40s, 50. And anything below from 35 20, to 20 is considered as a classic in terms of cars, right? And so we drove around the city. It caught us in. We were all so excited. We drove around the city in this beautiful, you know, antique, enjoying the cultural significance of a Beetle. And as we were enjoying it, we decided to go back home, and we were about 5 kilometers from returning back home. And this Beetle gave in on us. We're on the side of the road, and I recall us trying every technical ability of ours, every knowledge, every mechanical knowledge, every technical knowledge that we had in us. We tried. This car was not starting. It couldn't get back on the road, and the owner of the car said, "I know what the problem is." So he knew what was the issue. It was in the engine. I needed to do some work in it. So as naive as I were back then, clueless about cars and clueless about everything regarding cars, I jumped in to the driver's seat and I just cranked up, put the keys in the ignition, and I just tried this car with a total belief that it will start again. So I kept going, and everybody's on their phones, either calling mommy, calling friends, calling AA, you know, everybody is trying to get out of this situation. And there I was trying it, but nothing happened. And mind you, at that time, I was at the furthest from the Lord. You know, the furthest from the Lord. And there I was, I kept trying it. It didn't start. And then I said, in Jesus' name, you will start. Now remember, I was very far from the Lord. But here I am in this situation, I'm saying, Jesus, in Jesus' name you will start. I remember saying this 3 times. In Jesus' name you will start. Not please, you will start. In Jesus' name you will start. In Jesus' name you will start. And guess what?
It started.
It started. And there I could see everybody, they were shocked. Is that the car? Is it running? And everybody came running back and they were so excited. And yeah, the rest is history. I saved the day. And everybody got back home safely. Then it was I saved the day. Today I know that it was the grace of the Lord. Yeah, yeah. And everybody got back home safely. Now this got me thinking. It really got me thinking as I was just preparing. When a parent sees a child going through trials, challenges, you know, we quickly want to jump in as parents, you know, unless you've had experience of jumping in. You know, when you have experience, you start saying, okay, let me guide from a distance. Let me try different ways of talking to my son and daughter. But initially, you just jump in and you want to actually solve the problem for the child. But this got me thinking, isn't this the will of God for us? That when we are actually in trials and tribulations, in seasons of drought, seasons of waiting, that God really has a will of our lives, and his will is to actually jump in and to be there for you. Isn't that so? The scriptures tell us that he wouldn't feed us snakes, right? But he loves us and that he will come for us. And this is about the waiting season that I want to talk about today. So let's look at Romans 4, verse 17 and 18. I have it here in the NIV version. As it's written, I have made you a father of many nations. I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. This is where the Lord talks about Abraham and says he's made him a father of nations. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. In hope, he believed, and so became. So there's a belief before the becoming. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offsprings be. Amen. So family, here God calls those things which do not exist as though they did. With Abraham, where he was then Abraham, there was no existence. There was death. There was nothing. But there was the will of God. And he calls things into existence. So God calls a new life upon a dead life. That's his will. He calls a new life where there is death. God called Jesus Christ that he be a death to our situations. Amen. It is in this belief that a new garment is actually given to you. The scripture talks about a new garment. When you are in the trials and when you're in the tribulations, when you're going through the seasons, the question is, what do we believe in? Because in the believing, a new garment is given to you. Just like Abraham, when we read in the scriptures, a new garment was given to him. Today we have the word of God. Many times in scripture, God, when we read throughout the scripture, God calls things that are not to be. Everywhere, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He actually speaks of the New Testament in the Old Testament and says, they shall be. And then there's the New Testament, which becomes the confirmation of what he actually had said. Now, let me bring this back to us so that we don't remain in our problems and we don't remain in too much in the spirit. But I want us to bring it back so that we can actually look into scripture who may have been walking or may have walked a journey that you and I are currently walking or may be walking. Now let's look at Genesis 11, chapter 11, verse 30. This speaks about Sarai before she became a Sarah, before a new garment was given to her. Now Sarai was childless because she was not able to conceive. She was not able to conceive because this is what she says. It's not what God says. Now, Abraham and Sarah tried, we know the story, they tried many years to have children. Many years. And they couldn't have children in their own strength. It was impossible. Just like some of us here. We may feel barren in some areas in our lives. Right? What do you mean, Lerato, because I'm a man, I can't be pregnant. Right? That could be the question. Yeah? What do you mean? Because I have kids. I've had kids. What do you mean when you say barren? Some of us may feel like Abraham and Sarah. We may feel barren in our health. Right? Because God, you're asking God, when am I conceiving my health? I've got diabetes. When am I conceiving my health? I've got cancer. There's a sense of barrenness because the word speaks about health, promises. It's written. But what I'm currently experiencing is not that. So there's a sense of barrenness. The fruit is not coming out. Amen. And we may feel it in our finances. We may feel it in some of the opportunities that you're trying, and we're knocking doors, and we're looking into opportunities. We may feel it in our relationships. You know, this relation is not coming right at home. There's no fruit. There's nothing coming out. We all have hopes. We all have dreams, don't we? Sarai and Abraham did not get married and say, we're going to be barren. You don't get into a business and say, I'm going to be broke. Right? You don't get into things and say the opposite of what the blessing should be in those. No one wants to get into pain. No one wants to get into misery. That is not our intention. That's not the intention of the Lord. These two were in a similar situation. Hopes, dreams, to build a life they had envisioned. But with the trying, you remember how many years they were trying, ne? Many years. even to the point of biologically, they thought, no, biologically it's not possible now. Right? The situation just looks dire. It's not possible. Right? You know, the people that tell you stuff when you're in the old age, they say, time is, you can't be that, yeah, you can't be that guy anymore. Because biologically, it's not possible. They were at that stage. They had hopes and dreams and everything about them. They're trying and trying and trying. And in the trying, you know what happens in the trying. There's also the waiting. You're trying, but you're waiting. You're trying, but you're waiting. You're trying, but you're waiting. Hey, and then they decided to take matters into their own hands. Right? Like some of us. In the waiting season, you wait and you wait and you wait and you say, I've had enough now. I'm going to go solve this problem. I will solve it. Genesis 16, verse 1 to 4. Let's look at how Sarai and Abraham, you know, try to solve this problem. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, had bore him no children. But she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to the husband, the Lord has kept me from having children. The Lord has kept me from having children. If we fast forward the story, we see children. So was it the Lord's intention? No. There were children already. But she says, the Lord. Sometimes when we don't see the picture, where we are, we start speaking death. We say, the Lord does not want me to have. The Lord does not want me to have health. The Lord does not want me to have business. The Lord does not want me to have children. Whatever it is in your life, the Lord kept me from having children. Go. She tells the husband, go sleep with my slave. Sure. Perhaps, I love this part. Perhaps I can build, I, not God. Perhaps I can build through her. Not through God. I can build through her. The husband agreed to what the wife said. So after Abraham had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai took his wife, Sarai, his wife took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her. We give our inheritance. We gave her to her husband. What God has blessed you with, you take it and you give it to be what? To be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. And when she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her. Family, in the waiting, many, many absurd things can happen. We have to be honest. In the waiting period, many things can happen. Be watchful in those waiting seasons. When you're in a waiting season, that's when you need to be watchful. I remember years ago, I made a deal with the devil. Yes, I did. You might be thinking, you made a deal with the devil. I made a deal with the devil. So I got to put together this proposal and I submitted it to this company. And it went from one department to the next, to the next. I thought I was just going to be training a few people at one department, which was going to be about 8 people. But it went, the proposal moved from here to the next, to the next, to the next. And next thing, I was called by the director who said, listen, I need you to not deal with just this department, but I want you to deal with the whole company. couple of steps backwards. As it kept moving from department to department to department, someone calls me and says, hey, listen, we need to have a meeting about this matter that you've proposed. I thought the company was calling me and they wanted me to come and discuss the matter. And then as I sit down in the boardroom and we start discussing, you know, it's like, no, you know what? I can actually make things, I can get this document to the right person. Neither did I know that the document was already signed by the right person. It was approved by the right person. It was granted by the Lord. Favor was given to me. I thought, I was in the waiting period. Just like Sarai, I said, hey, I'll make a deal with this devil. Then I didn't know that I was making a deal with the devil. That I was giving my inheritance, my blessing, because I didn't know what the end looked like. I didn't know the will of God for me. And I made a deal with a man. Sorry, my stories don't usually have a happily ending after. I think Mama Lynette last time said, so what happened to that child that got lost at the rain show? I said, it's for us, really, for our imagination to take over, to get the picture. Amen. So Sarai proposes that Abraham have a child with her slave. And this family caused many problems for them. But here in the scripture, there's something that I was reading and I said, wow, Lord, you actually speaking something in this waiting period. That there was a mandate for Sarai and Abram. There was a mandate for their marriage. So God doesn't bring people together. What God starts, he finishes. What God starts has a mandate behind it. So today people get married and we're thinking, you know, I've got a partner, we're going to be eating ice cream, we're going to be taking a stroll in the park, we're going to be enjoying, we're going to be together. Yes, those are the rewards of marriage. But there's usually a mandate when God brings two and says, this one and this one come together. The longer the wait, family, the bigger the mandate is. God doesn't get you to start something. God doesn't start something and leave you alone. God doesn't say start that business and leaves you alone to go struggle and cry, you know, and throw a tantrum and wonder, why did I start this? There's a mandate behind that business. It may be to be a kingdom financer. It may be to employ a lot of people. There's usually a mandate behind what God gives us. Sarai and Abraham didn't understand what the mandate was, and the mandate was Isaac. The mandate was Isaac. It was bigger than them. For Abraham, it was for him to be a father of nations. Genesis 17:5 says, no longer will you be called Abraham, but your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. For Sarai, Genesis 17:16 was for her to be the mother of nations, for her to carry an Isaac, the fulfillment of God's promises. It was for her to have kings coming out of her womb, many kings. Many kings. This is Genesis 16. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her name. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Praise the Lord. Family, where there's a mandate, the enemy will try and engineer problems in your life. He will engineer problems so that the focus be off Christ, be off the will of God, be off his promises, so that you may grow weary in the waiting. And here's the one, the big one, so that you can accept the problem. So that you can accept that you are barren in your finances. So that you can accept that you are barren in your marriage. That whatever it may be, so that you may accept the problem. But Isaiah 40, 30 to 31 says, chapter 40, 30, verse 30 to 31 confirms this, says, even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fail and fall. This doesn't talk only about age. It talks about pride. It talks about arrogance, right? You know when you have pride and you're young, eh? You can do anything. Until older people say, hey, listen, take it easy, right? But those who hope, those who wait in the Lord will renew their strength. So in the waiting, our strength gets renewed. But waiting where? Waiting in the Lord. Waiting on his will. Standing on his word. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Family, some of us have learned to accept our problems. Some of us have learned to ignore our problems. But isn't it the God that we serve that says, I will remove cancer? Isn't it the one who just heals? So it's not about ignoring the problem, because the problem when we ignore it's still behind us. You're still looking at it. As you're walking, you're still making sure that it's far away. Get away from me, Satan. Get away. Right? But it's still there. It's still there. Some of us have learned to accept that. As we're walking, we've learned to accept that. Colossians 2:10 says to us, in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. Amen. Family, problems don't come from God. Problems don't come from God. It was not God's will for Sarai to not have children. It wasn't his will. God's will for her was for her to be a mother of nations. A mother of kings. God has a will for our lives. And whatever we are facing and challenges we go through, it's not his will. He has a will, and that will is written. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. Just now we read that in him we gain strength. So he's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, not wanting anyone to experience hell here on earth, but everyone to come to repentance. God's word over your life and my life has already been declared. By the time you were born, it was declared. Sarai's life was already declared. She was going to have children. She was going to be Sarah, mother of nations. It was already done. Family, I'm here to remind us here at church today that there is a will for your life. There is your will for your life. In the midst of it all, there is the will for your life. And it's not God that's bringing these problems. It's the enemy that engineers them. So in the waiting, one has to be mindful of the enemy. When you're in a season of waiting, and you feel like I've been waiting for years, nothing is happening, you have to create a system. You have to put a system in place. a system that will assist you in the waiting period. And I'd like to share this system with you. And it's a beautiful one. That Jesus Christ comes to his disciples and teaches them this. And he says to them, pray like this. Pray like this. Matthew 6, verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the waiting, the battle is actually about kingdoms. The battle is about kingdoms. Your life has a mandate of bringing God's kingdom here on earth. To bring the kingdom of light, you may be asking. What kingdom? You're bringing light. You're bringing light. So the battle is actually not yours. The battle is actually the Lord's. I think this frees one out to actually come out of self and say, shucks, I thought this was about me. I thought I am. But actually, there's a mandate over your life. Amen. So how do we birth Isaac? How do we birth the promises of God? How do we birth laughter in our lives? How do we birth the fulfillment? Family, it's through praying the will of God. Scripture tells us that pray the will of God. Not your will. Because many of us at times we pray our will. We pray our will. And then we wonder when we have Ishmaels in our lives. It's to pray God's will. So you may be here crying like Sarai. There may be things in your life that you feel like are not existent. The enemy has had a hand on it, is engineering problems, is bringing things to fall apart. I hear you, and I understand. But God has a message for us this morning. And his question is, what is God's will? What is God's will over your life? You know, when we go in the Old Testament and we look at Abraham and Eve's story, it was actually Abraham who was punished and not Eve. The question is why? Because God spoke to Adam. Sorry, not Abraham, Adam. God spoke to Adam and not Eve. God has spoken to you. Not anyone else, but you. He's spoken his will over your life. And it's in the word of God. Nowhere else. You won't find it anywhere else. You won't find it in prophets. You won't find it in any way. You will find it in the word of God. What does the will of God say? Over your situation. What does the will of God say about your children? I know my children are falling apart. Things are not happening. But what does God's word say about your children? What is his will for them? Family, let's resuscitate these dry bones today. And take back what belongs to us. Take back our inheritance, what God has spoken of our lives. And speak what is not existent to existence. Speak what has been written by God, ancient spirit, into your situation. It will be a waiting journey. There's no two way about it. We can't escape from waiting. It will be a waiting journey. But it won't be the same with God. It won't be the same when you pray the will of God. Because we just read it now in Isaiah 40. He says, He will renew our strength. In the times of trouble and challenges, you will not feel the years when you wait in the word of God. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Can I pray over us? Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word. I thank you, Father, for the revelation. I thank you, Father, for giving us guidance and understanding on how to deal with the situations that we are in. We thank you, Lord, for reminding us that you have a mandate of our lives. And that mandate is big. And that we need to see past our problems and connect to you, the vine. I pray that every son and daughter of yours in this house, Lord, that is experiencing challenges, that is in the waiting season, I pray that the will of God may come. I pray the will of God may run fast and that doors open and that your sight is seen, Father. Your glory comes and shines. I pray this over this church in the name of Jesus. I pray for joy. I pray for laughter. I pray for Isaac. I declare this in the mightiest name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.